that gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're getting all kinds of interference now. Here, take this. I don't know who it is that's calling. Answer it. Answer it. We are live and on the air right now, thanks to the skills of Lewis, my son here, the engineer. We got knocked off right as we were going on the air. It was one of the weirdest things. We were moments ready to go on, and we just lost all the internet. We tore apart the routers. We did everything, and we're about 5 minutes late, but that's okay. We'll still do a full show. What was that, Lou?
It was the password.
What did he want?
He said he'll talk to you after the show.
Okay, he didn't realize we were just going on the air. So, but we're back after a weekend. We've survived another couple days under the tyranny. They haven't found us yet. Doesn't mean they're not messing with us. Doesn't mean that there aren't troubles and tribulations along the way. But I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from Central California, right here in the little commonwealth known as Cahuea, K-A-W-E-A-H, California. And we're in Central California in a little county called, well, it's a big county, it's not as populated as some counties in California, Tulare. It's a rural farming community with huge mountains. Actually, some of the mountains here are taller than the mountains I grew up with in Colorado, so it's kind of weird. I know that Colorado has more 14,000 peaks, but there are a couple peaks here that are, I think, even higher than what you can find in Colorado. It's kind of weird. You can see snow up on some of them late into June and early July. And let me get my water over here, too. Stuff around. It's just kind of a strange place to be in, to have like a desert below us. That's all really the Central Valley is. It's an irrigated desert. It's man's domination of the land where they've irrigated it and brought it into submission to produce food. And then you look up in the mountains, which are all pretty much were impassable until great pioneers forged their way through it. You know, a lot of problems, but they made it. And it's just a great example of how God gave us dominion over the land and the animals and the crops. It's just, you see it every day when you live in a place like this. An inhospitable place, both because of the land and the people. California is a strange place, settled by grit, hard work, backbreaking work, and then when all that was done, what happened? The liberals, the lazies, all swooped in and took it over. It's just a sad story, but it's a good example of what happens when you don't pay attention to what's going on beyond your fence line. When you just focus inward and don't care about your neighbor. Don't go out of your way to make sure that your neighbor's not getting ripped off by the same bad people that tried to rip you off, but you were too smart for it, so you moved them on down the line. You got to warn your neighbors about those things. And that's what this show is about. It's about warning our neighbors. And the difference is that we are in a cyber neighborhood. Boy, I'm getting all kinds of comments from Facebook all of a sudden. Oh, you know what? That's probably why. They're all wondering, where were you? Why weren't you on the air? In fact, let me do this. Let me go. Let me right-click this, guys. Hang on. Everybody in there doing okay, Lou?
Yeah.
We've got a few people in there. Good. People are catching up. People can hear me. Yeah, we just had those little problems at the beginning, but you know what? I'm used to those problems. It seems par for the course. We didn't have the problems as much once we got the new router down at the other location. I mean, I wish we could stay there, but you guys know my philosophy on staying in a city. Let me retype this up. I can't type and talk at the same time. And I'm doing all caps. They're going to think I'm yelling at them. And then I'll get all these complaints. Why are you yelling at me, Dodge? You're so mean. Don't yell at me on the internet. It scares me. Oh, now my computer's locked up. Okay. On the air now in caps. Exclamation point. Control V. Pasting the link to the Dutch Jones radio program on UBroadcast. Okay. We got listener Mike. Thanks for tuning in. Boy, everybody's in here today in the Facebook realm. It's kind of amazing that the way that you broadcast keeps count. Not that it matters how many listeners I have. Like I said, when I started, I had 12 hardcore listeners every day, and that's all that I really, you know, was happy to know that people were listening. But we've moved on to the front page. We're now in the top 20 out of over 900 radio stations that use you broadcast, and we've got about another 50 point. Thank you, another 50 points to go before we move up to number 19. And points are based on how many people listen to like a whole show. I think it is downloads though. What did you say today, Lou? Downloads for some of the stuff is up again. Not for our show, but for the church's website, up by 3,000 since you last checked. I mean, it's going good. People are listening to the show. People are commenting on the show. We're getting some undue attention, too. I can never remember the guy's name. The guy who turned in Hutari. Lackalawini head or whatever. Some Michigan militia guy. He cooperated. He didn't turn them in, but he cooperated with the FBI to help round up the Hutari. He's made a contact with me, wants to be added on my Facebook page. I mean, I know the media twists things, but I'm a little apprehensive about stuff like that, you know. But anyone can listen to the show. And the information that I share doesn't always have to be a militia-oriented thing. It's 90% of the time Christian based on survival. Just trying to get you folks to learn how to dig holes in your backyard and stack those beans and weenies up in a nice orderly fashion in your survival closet. And that's the purpose of the show. But I like it when more people listen because they tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on. And more people get the message. We've seen a huge influx of the number of people pre-registering for our conference this year for the 15th annual Old Paths Conference, in facto. And I'd like to think some of those are you folks. I don't know if you are or not. I'd appreciate it if you would write, you know, when you send in your application, just say, I heard it from Dutch. That goes a long way to make people feel like, you know, hey, letting this weirdo do this radio show from here might be a good thing. And I hope you can appreciate what I'm saying. I'm not trying to... I'll do the show from my car. Lou and I are set up so we can do it from a car. You've heard us do it. It sounds terrible, but we still get the voice out there. We still get the message out there, which is much more important than the voice. You understand what I mean. And we're going to keep doing it. We got a $25 donation today. I don't know who the lovely wife is in the chat room. If the person's in there, thank them through an IM. Some people don't want others to know they're donating. I've actually had people, hey, don't mention my name when I donate to you guys. I don't want to seem weird or anything, but we just don't, you know, I don't know who's listening, and I don't want... And usually it's very seldom that I slip up and say, hey, you know, Bob Jones at 2255 First Street, Greeley, Colorado, sent me a $10 donation today. So it's good. Today we had $25 in donations, and that's all I'm talking about, folks. We raised enough money to pay for the you broadcast and the internet, I believe. Stacy will tell you if it's different, but I think we have enough money in there to pay for another month. So here we go. We still have electric bills. We still have space usage donation because we like to donate money to the church for letting us use this lovely space. It's much better than doing it out of the back of a van down by the river, you know, with everything else. So, but as long as you guys keep supporting us with your prayers and your monetary donations and physical donations, we do get physical stuff. We get people that send in all kinds of things, and we appreciate that. It's been a lull, but it's funny, if you look back over it, every about end of July till September, it's a lull for people. It's like the worst time of the year. Everybody says Christmas, but it's like everybody I know, that it seems like August is bad for them. I talked to the pastor about it here, and he said that's the lowest point of giving too in the church. Late July, all of August, people just, you know why, and this is what I think it is, and I'm not saying it's a selfish thing, but it's the family tithe that takes precedence. They want to do stuff with their families during those times of year, so they focus, and that is totally awesome. That is a blessing on your family that you should not overlook, and that's why I don't get all upset. Oh, we're not going to make it through August, but I remember August last year was the same way, and the August before that, you know, but we're better than we were each August. Does that make sense? It may be a lull for us in donations and purchases, but I know you folks are out enjoying, you know, the Adirondacks with your family or taking them to the lake. That's much more important than sending money to me. The family tithe, the vacation tithe, however you want to word it, is very important. If you're not doing that with your family, to some degree, you're neglecting your family, leaders of your family, men. And I'm speaking directly to the men out there. If you can't go to Disneyland, because what is it now, $120 a head to go to Disneyland? Well, but you want to take your kids out to Chuck E. Cheese and, you know, where'd it go now? Did you give it back to me? Yeah, don't be giving me back stuff. Let's see here. Let's see what's going on here. Yeah, just say okay. Tell them okay. So we can, you know, we can appreciate that. You've got to take care of your family. You've got to, even if it's just once a week, renting a movie and getting some popcorn and soda, you've got to do a family tithe. No matter how bad it is, you can find something to do. It doesn't even have to be money. It's just a tithe of time and concentration. Have a game night. Have a survival training night. I mean, you know, make it a game. Practice getting those gas masks on. Oh, those of you, we sent out the gas masks. The last of them went out. So there's, I think there's one, we sent one COD in a way, so we really would appreciate it if you would make that payment. When you get it, let us know, because you're a listener, and but let us know when you get it, and please go ahead and make that PayPal payment, because we're short now because of that, and we apologize for the length of time it took for you to get them. We did send them special delivery or whatever it was, so we know we've got them tracked, and if you don't get them, we can track them down, but we want to make sure. Our mail is still doing weird things. It is secure. Post Office Box 31 is still secure again, but like today we were supposed to get stuff. We were told it was there on Friday. It's still not here. So just keep track. If you've sent us something and we haven't gotten it and I haven't mentioned it on the air, kick me in the ribs. Maybe it's because I'm just not being thankful enough to you guys to mention, hey, thanks for sending in that card with, you know, five ferns in it. But that way we'll know that if you're sending them and we're not getting them. Because they are, I think they are messing with our mail. Either that or it's just typical American lack of work ethic that, you know, somebody's just stacking it up in their backyard. We all know those stories. Somebody's watching all our Netflix movies that we haven't got. We were supposed to get some last week and we never got them. I just called and they're like, no, we sent them. They got there on Friday to your post office. I'm like, They got to our post office on Friday. They weren't here Saturday and they weren't here today. So what does that tell you? You know, either their system of tracking is flawed or there's some, you know, fat little postal employee watching my videos right now. You know those guys who get the best video collection and CD collection in the world from all you guys ordering from Columbia House and stuff, and they decide to keep them? I mean, the good ones are smart. They take them home, rip them, and then put them back in, and you get them like a day late and you don't even notice. But the morons, you know, they got a garage full of media out there that they've taken from you. And the stories pop up all the time. I'm not being prejudicial. It does happen. Maybe not every postal worker. I got a reminder today that not all cops are bad from one of our listeners. He says he's got a brother-in-law or an uncle-in-law or somebody in his family that he knows well that's a good cop. Well, God bless him. If you know a good cop, praise him, support him, give him a place to hide when the bad cops come for him. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink of water. Feeling a little parched there. Oh, boy, I got all kinds of news articles and stuff to talk about. Somebody sent me one of our listeners, Dwayne, in, where is he? He's in Lemoore, California. Listens constantly, I heard. He keeps it on in the background to annoy his wife and kids, or wife and grandkids. He lives in a house full of liberals, and he likes me to go in the back. He sent me a list of the uses of salt, which is kind of funny. You know, 46 smart uses for salt. And some of them were ones I never even heard of. Salt is an amazing invention that God made us. You can use it for curing. You can use it for drying out stuff, cleaning stuff. More than just what I thought of. You know, just salted pork is what's in my head. But we'll go through that a little bit later. Got some stuff on suicides in the Border Patrol. They're up. They're on an all-time high, which I don't believe that they're actually suicides. I have had experience with where they list something as suicide, and it's not in the military, so I'm same type of mindset as in there. In Mexico, a hunting party in Oaxaca. I don't know if they're Americans or not. I just got this in. I got to pre-read it on the break. But 8 people killed. They were found stacked in the back of their pickup, been attacked. A mayor in Mexico has been kidnapped by drug lords. The violence continues. There was a tea party over the weekend on the border in Mexico, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio was there, and he got a lot of grief, and he said some good things, though. It's like if the government spent less time trying to prosecute him for enforcing the law and actually went after the illegals, it might help. So we got that title. Here's another one. It's bad enough they're threatening us with the Islamo terrorist threat, which is a real threat. But it's not coming to fruition. They're just not doing what they're told. You know, the Jesuits and the Zionists that told the Muslims to come over here and kill us en masse. Not happening. So now they're trying to scare us with China. And what they're doing is they're talking about a massive Chinese military move-up. They're coming to first-world status. And I believe that China and India probably surpass the U.S. now as superpowers go, as able to project their power for a sustained amount of time. We have quick surgical strike capabilities, but China and India, you know, we're in trouble. But the good news is that there are more guns in America than in the Chinese and the Indian armies combined. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, how I think it's a 1984 overture, how they're trying to, you know, oh, wait, the Chinese now. Let's have problems with the Chinese. They're rattling sabers down in Korea. They're not willing to ridicule North Korea for sinking ships and doing all that kind of stuff. So they're setting the stage. They need a more aggressive threat to keep you sheeples, and that's not anybody really listening to this show, in line, unless you're from the 80s. Or the Southern Perversion Law Center, but you got that. I got another story from, you know, Michigan. Oh, my computer just died. Michigan, because of Ramadan, the football teams in Michigan, some of them are practicing at night to honor Ramadan. You know, I wonder how many high school football coaches wouldn't make their kids go. Hey, it came back. My computer came back on Sundays. So the holy month, hot days mean football nights in Michigan. So they're doing that kind of stuff up there. So we're going to talk about that. Let's see. Oh, and I've gotten several questions about what do you believe? What is your religious faith? And I kind of every day talk about that. So, but lately I've gotten every day 4 to 5 different emails. Well, what do you believe? Are you, what are you, a Baptist? Are you a, you know, what are you? Well, I'm a partial preterist, non-denominational, pre-church Christian. I worship Jesus Christ. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ through the teachers that he puts in my path. I am not a Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. I'm definitely not a Catholic. I'm not an Armenian. I'm not a Calvinist. Although every one of those, even the Catholics, there are things in their doctrines that I go, hey, yeah, I can understand why they do that. I can find it biblically. But every one of those, I can find things that they're doing that are counter to the Bible. So I will not align myself. I will not say, hey, I'm a Southern Baptist, or, you know, I'm a Congregationalist, you know, I'm a Presbyterian. Although I have friends in all of those, even some of the fringe groups that border on cultism, I have friends in those, and I see in their heart that they've accepted Jesus. A lot of people don't like it, but I keep reaching out to those people. Same reason if you go to my Facebook page, you're going to see Klansmen on there. You're going to see there's a couple Nazis still hanging on. It's funny. I can't believe their tolerance for my hatred of Nazis. But they're listening to the message. So I will fellowship with other faith systems. You know, I'm not going to go to a Muslim church or Hindu, but I'm talking so-called linear from, you know, from the tree of the Christian faith. I will do that. And Unitarians, not so much. I'm not big on Unitarians or deists. And even, I've got a few friends. I have a very close friend that is a Christian identity. And even though I have about a 60% problem with everything they teach, I see in his heart that he accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and I can deal with that. I also see that they're working for the holy cause of liberty. I don't get into the double seed line, devil seed, Satan's thing. I don't get into all that. I don't get into the beast of the field thing, that blacks were different and that it was a localized flood. But it doesn't mean I'm going to kick them out of the door unless they stick on that and they're hardened on that and they won't shut up. You know, if they keep trying to convert me, you know, I said, look, let's talk about what we have in common and see if the reflection of Christ in my life rather than my own words can help them. So I can't give you a faith. I can't say what denomination I am because I'm not. I started out my young life as an antichrist. Not the antichrist, an antichrist. I was one of those guys that would go to churches and jump up and start screaming, you know, blithering things just to disrupt the service when I was a teenager. I did that, and I own that, and I repent for that. And then later on in life, you know, I would go to churches just to meet girls. You know, I'm not lying. But the church I was saved in was a conservative Baptist church. Little home. It was firstly a home church. Then we went to a school. Then we got a building. Got the 501c3, and it just went downhill from there. But I was baptized by Baptists in Rancho Cucamonga, California. It was called New Song Church, and then later Life Truth Church or something like that when they got incorporated. But it was a New Song Church, and that was Baptist, and that's where I was saved when I was 32 years old. 32. Yeah, 32 years old. So that was, I haven't been a Christian very long when you think about it. So that was 8 plus 10, 18 years ago? No, wait, I'm 45.
That old?
Yeah, I'm not that old. I'm 45, so let's do the math, Lou. That's 5 plus 8. What's 5 plus 8? 13 years ago. So 12 years ago. So let's say 12 years ago I was saved. I was baptized on Earth Day. I just remember picking that day just to make the... just to make some hippies mad. But we did it in a hot tub. We didn't even... that's Southern California for you. I read a lot of different stuff. I love Calvin. I love Kruger from South Africa. John Knox. all that stuff, but I don't agree with their predestination stuff. And people ask you, well, what's a preterist? It sounds terrible. That is spelled P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T. It means someone who thinks that it was fulfilled in the past. A futurist or a millennialist think it's either being fulfilled now or will be fulfilled in the future. What is being fulfilled? The coming of Christ, the finishing of it all, the judgment of Jerusalem. I believe that it happened in 70 A.D. Under Titus, who was under Nero. Josephus, the historian, wrote about it, and that's where I'm at. I don't sit around all day sitting on my hands waiting to be raptured. I do believe there will be a rapture. I do believe there will be a physical second coming of Christ. I believe that the judgment of Christ already came when he came from the sky. Now, granted, with that said, don't argue with me this stuff on the air, because I accept it, I understand it, I know it, I read it, I'm well read, but my mind is settled on it. And that doesn't mean I don't let people come out and talk about it. I've had people come up, millennialists come up and talk about the end times. I let them do it. But don't argue with me about it, because I don't have all the resources in front of me, and I'm not going to be able to go, oh yeah, well, so and so said this, and the treaty of this, and you know, all that stuff. What?
A lot of information. Link in the chat room. It says more relevant.
Okay, Lou's putting stuff in there. Cool. If you go to the chat room, you'll see links on preterism or just me in general. Preterism. And it's just what I believe. And if I'm wrong, you know what? I still get to go to heaven. And if you're wrong, you know what? And you've accepted the blood of Christ for your sins and you know, all that stuff. You've taken the bit. You still get to go to heaven, and we can sit there and go, huh, you were wrong, I was right. When we're in heaven, we can taunt each other over it. But I'm not going to argue it now on the show, because that's not the point of the show. But I am glad to give you an idea where I'm coming from. Because I am a partial preterist, I do not sit around on my hands waiting for a cosmic bailout. That is the biggest difference, I think, between me and 90% of other Christians. And there may be other Christians that are so beyond what I believe that I don't know what they're doing either. But the mainstream sheep going to church, you know, they go and get their Starbucks and everything before they go to church, and they whine about it. They do their hour, 2 hours on Sunday. Those folks don't even understand this. I don't even share it with them. I don't worry about it, because those are the people that are part of the problem. And if you're part of the problem, you need to wake up and start reading more and studying more and getting your mindset right. Now, I've met end times Christians that are fighting. They realize that they're supposed to be in the battle, waiting waist deep into it for Christ. You know, pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything. They understand that. And they continue to battle that way. But the ones that don't, I don't want anything to do with them. So that's something from the email. Let's see here. I got people sending me videos of things just expounding on things I've said. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I cannot work. Excuse me. I cannot work videos very well here because of what we're doing. So I have to... I can't find it here. I can't watch all the videos, but I do watch some of them, but it just uses up too much of our bandwidth. So what I do is, after, you know, every couple of weeks, we go down to another location where there is unlimited DSL, and I'll watch them then. So I will get around to them. We got a story here about the University of, I think it's North Carolina, demanding that all students have abortion policies. Abortion coverage in their insurance to go to school there. You know, have a $500 rider or coverage, you know, thing for abortion. So a state institution. So we are seeing some of these things that the end times people are screaming about. You know, Moloch is in the school there. And this is from Abolish Abortion on www.causes.com. We're going to talk about this when I come back. But it's just insane that a college... Oh, wait, where's the article? There's the article. Is this it? You know what? I think they moved the article. I think the link that I had went to something else. But this college is doing that. So we're going to talk about that, about states requiring abortion insurance, requiring that students be taught abortion and sex ed and all that kind of stuff in schools. We can talk about that a little bit, as how it pertains to the decay and fall of our nation. Let's see here. I don't understand what this is on here for. Excuse me, folks. Will I talk to myself? Will I do this? Yeah, I clicked on the right one. Let's see. I had something else here that was kind of funny. I wanted to go over 5 sacred words, you know, when cops pick you up. Maybe we'll do that if we get to it. People are sending me some good stuff. I like that. Oh, this is something I did want to talk about. We'll talk about this when we come back because I can find the article on this. GPS coordinates embedded in digital photos. An actor, or not an actor, a host of Mythbusters put a picture on his Twitter page and it gave his GPS coordinates of his house. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Dutch Jones.
Living still in spite of dungeon fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy.
Listening to the Dutch Jones radio program, and if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people, and number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Don't
for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention! Attention! This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm waiting. He's got nothing quirky to play?
Rusty Shackleford.
Rusty Shackleford. Yeah, I see that name all the time on the internet, and I always forget that it's from King of the Hill. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live right now. It is 5:34 Pacific time. We're a couple minutes late getting up because of computer problems, as, you know, happens. But we are live right now, and people are IMing me saying, what's your phone number? Well, I'm going to give it out. We'll see if you call. The phone number to call in live right now. Don't call any other time because we just disconnected. It's not hooked up until we're in here. Area code 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And as always, just keep it clean and decent, and I won't hang up on you. We've lost a few listeners because I wouldn't let them swear on the air anymore. They get like two strikes and that's it. I haven't seen people for a while. It's kind of funny. I don't get email from them either, the people that used to come on and swear. And then I went onto our YouTube page, and there was just so much stupidity on there. I blocked all the comments on the two videos that we had up. We got more two up, but the two videos that were getting the most controversy. And that just angered people. I mean, they just want to sling stupidity. You know, if you don't like what I'm saying, move on. You know, don't stick around and become a self-appointed human thorn in the side. You know, God didn't send you to irritate me. It's not going to work. You know, all it does is make you look stupid when you do stuff like that. Don't forget the forum. We have a forum at dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, J-O-E-N-S.tk. And Lou's been a little laxed on that. I'm going to start beating him more and make sure he gets stuff in there. He needs to post things in there. And if you've got something you want to put in there, open up an account. You can download the music we use. We get lots of comments. We got some new music, and you're not really using it. We've got Battle Belongs to the Lord. We got all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, it's in the music file. I downloaded it myself. So if it may have maybe misnamed, but there's some new stuff in there in the music file. I downloaded about a dozen songs over the weekend since I had the chance to do it. So check that out, Lou, and see what you got in there. There's some good music in there. But what we're talking about today is whatever you want to talk about. Oh, wait, I'm getting IMs here. Boy, you folks over at... let's see. Lots of people are listening on Facebook to the little... What do you call that? A widget? Commenting on Obama. Good. Thank you for listening. That is Jeff. I won't give your last name. A lot of people use their whole names on Facebook. I don't do that. Well, I mean, I use the fake name, Dutch Jones. But there are a lot of people using their whole names. I almost accidentally say them, you know, when I read fast. Somebody's saying I should sing. I can't sing. Was I singing?
No.
I wonder if... was I singing during the break or something? The mic was up? Because somebody... No. I just got I am from Charlotte saying, is that your voice? Very nice. Keep singing like the hymn. No, that wasn't me.
Steve Voss.
That was Steve Voss. Steve Voss doing Faith of Our Fathers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me, Steve Voss, but thank you. I don't have a singing voice. I have a talking voice and a face for radio. That's about it. That's all I got. Let's see. Brian's listening and says, I'm raising his IQ. I put a joke on Facebook that said, listen live now, raise your IQ by 3 to 5 points. And somebody put raising. Did I spell
3 to 5 points a week.
3 to 5 points a week. If you listen throughout a week, you can raise your IQ. And
what would be your IQ?
I don't even know. Well, my IQ actually goes down. My IQ goes down all the time. It's funny. It's like as I get older, I'm not getting any wiser. I'm getting more depleted in what I do. And it's because of... Where did it go? And it's because of things that they're doing. You know, the brainwave thing. You know, I don't wear my aluminum foil hat all the time. Actually, most of my attention's just lost in the stupid interpersonal... machinations of daily life. And I can't come... You know, it's just annoying. he said, she said stuff, people whining, complaining, people talking about things to me, knowing it would piss me off, just trying to get a rise out of me, that kind of stuff. And I hate it. I don't have time for it. You know, I want to be about doing the positive things. I want to be about moving forward, not having to do all the weeding and stuff. But I guess that's the way, you know, things are put together and we have to do it. So, in our under the file of Big Brother is out there and he is watching, and, you know, all those myths, oh, you're being paranoid, they're not tracking you. You know, when I tell people, hey, your cell phone, your GPS, it works both ways. They can tell where you are. They find lost kids and kidnap women all the time with those things. And, you know, and now digital cameras and the cameras on your cell phone, well, it appears some of them, at least some of them, are embedding the location of where the picture was taken into the data of the picture. Now, I sent Lou to some websites to check it out. Did you go check it out?
Yeah, and I tried to drag an image that I took from my phone, and it said this image is not registered.
Okay, but do you have that information still? Because we'd like to be able to give that out. Well, it's in the body of the article here. Many of you know Mythbusters. It's one of my favorite shows. I don't always agree with some of the conclusions they come up with, and they won't address the, you know, so-called myths of 9/11 and stuff like that because they don't want to get in trouble. But they have in the past talked about RFID, radio frequency identification chips, or RFID, however it goes. Anyway, they talked about how people can scan your credit cards while walking by you, and they've gone into that. Well, now here's a new one. Web photos that reveal secrets like where you live. This is from the New York Times. It is August 12th. It's from Thursday, but I read it over the weekend, and I really want to share it with you. When Adam Savage, host of the popular science program Mythbusters, posted a picture on Twitter of his automobile parked in front of his house, he let his fans know how much more than that he drove a Toyota Land Cruiser. Let fans know much more than that he drove. Oh, he inadvertently, I'm putting this word in because the writer is bad. He inadvertently let fans know more than just that he drives a Toyota Land Cruiser. Embedded in the image was a geotag, that's spelled G-E-O-T-A-G, a bit of data providing the longitude and latitude of where the photo was taken. Hence, he revealed exactly where he lived. And since the accompanying text was, now it's off to work, potential thieves knew he would not be at home at that moment. Security experts and privacy advocates have recently begun warning about the potential dangers of geotags, which are embedded in photos and videos taken with GPS-equipped smartphones and digital cameras. Because the location data is not visible to the casual viewer, the concern is that many people may not realize if it's there. They could be compromising their privacy, if not their very safety, when they post geotagged media online. I'm sure all of our photos are that way because we take them with digital cameras and phones all the time. Mr. Savage said he knew about geotags. He should. He's host of, you know, Mythbusters. But he said that he had neglected to disable the function in his iPhone before taking the picture and uploading it to Twitter. He goes on to say, I guess it was a lack of concern because I'm not nearly famous enough to be stalked, he said. And if I am, I want a raise. And he's dealing with humor there. Still, Mr. Savage, I'm hearing tweaks and sounds from that. What are you doing? Okay. Still, Mr. Savage has since turned off the geotag feature in his iPhone, and he isn't worried about the archive photo on Twitter because he has moved to a new residence. Oh, must be nice to be that kind of celebrity. He lives in San Francisco. I know he's not a liberal, but, you know, oh, everybody knows where I live. I better move now. But others may not be so technically informed and so blasé about their privacy. I'd say very few people know about geotag capabilities, said Peter Eckersley, a staff technologist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That's Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco. And consent is sort of slippery on this slope when the only way you can turn off the function in your phone is through an invisible menu that no one ever tells you about when you buy the phone. Indeed, disabling the geotag function generally involves going through several layers of menus until you find the location setting, then selecting off or don't allow. But doing this can sometimes turn off all GPS capabilities, including mapping, so it can get complicated. The website, here it is, icanstalkyou.com. That's icanstalkyou, the letter U, .com. icanstalkyou.com provides step-by-step instructions for disabling the photo geotagging function on iPhone, BlackBerry, Android, and other Palm devices. A person's location is also revealed while using services like Foursquare and Gowalla, as well as the posting to Twitter from a GPS-enabled mobile phone. But the geographical data is not hidden, as and as it was when posting photos. A handful of academic researchers and independent web security analysts who call themselves white hat hackers, I've heard of those, have been trying to raise awareness about geotags by releasing studies and giving presentations at technology get-togethers like the Hackers on Planet Earth, or HOPE, conference held last month in New York. See, it's kind of nice there are people out there working for liberty that have these skills. The lectures and papers demonstrate the ubiquity of geotagged photos and videos on the websites like Twitter, YouTube, Flickr, and Craigslist, and how these photos can be used to identify a person's home and haunts. Many of the pictures show people's children playing in or around their homes. Others reveal expensive cars, computers, flat-screen televisions. There are also pictures of people at their friend's house or at the Starbucks they visit each morning. You're giving all this information away. By downloading a free browser plugin like EXIF Viewer, that's capital EXIF Viewer for Firefox, it's in under addons.mozilla.org. Addons.mozilla.org. Addons.mozilla.org and look for EXIF Viewer. Or Opanda EXIF. IXIF for Internet Explorer. So one's called Opanda. Just Google it. O-P-A-N-D-A. Anyone can pinpoint the location where the photo was taken. If you view it through this, and it was or it was created with a Google map, you can make a map out of it just by cutting and pasting. So this is kind of creepy. All you people that are on those internet dating services and stuff like that, and you want anonymity, but you put pictures of you in your nice little bikini by the pool, or you on your motorcycle out in front of your house, you know, with your six-pack showing, and you don't think some psycho's going to find you now? Moreover, since multimedia sites like Twitter and YouTube are user-friendly application programming interfaces, or APIs, someone with a little knowledge about writing computer code can create a program to search for geotag photos in a systematic way. For example, they can search for those accompanied with texts like on vacation and those taken in a specified neighborhood. Any 16-year-old, I would say even lower than that, with basic programming skills can do this, says Gerald Friedland, a researcher at the International Computer Science Institute at the University of California, Berkeley. He probably had ponytails. He and a colleague, Robin Sommer, S-O-M-M-E-R, wrote a letter, Cybercasing the Joint on the Privacy Implications of Geotagging, Cybercasing the Joint, which they presented on Tuesday at a workshop in Washington during an Advanced Computing Systems Association's, I bet that was exciting, conference. Can you imagine all those computer geeks in one room? The paper provided three examples of so-called cybercasing that use photo posted on Twitter and Craigslist and a homemade video on YouTube. By looking at geotags and the text for posts, Mr. Sommer said you can easily find out where these people live, what kind of things they have in their house, and also when they are going to be away. Our intent is not to show you how it's done, he said, but raise awareness so people can understand their devices and turn off those options if they want to. iCanStalkYou.com, developed by the security consultants Larry Pesci of the NWN Corporation in Waltham, Massachusetts, and Ben Jackson of Mayhemic Labs in Boston, boy, these names, uses a more direct approach to warning about the potential dangers of geotags. The site displays a real-time stream of geotag photos posted on Twitter. The person who posted the photo also gets notifications during Twitter. Wouldn't that be great? You post it, and then somebody sends you your address?
The U is the letter U, not...
Yeah, that's what I said, the letter U. You didn't hear me, Lou? Okay, it's the letter U. In the latter category was Christina Parker of El Paso, who sells appliances part-time at Kmart and also manages social media for small companies. I Can Stalk You, with the letter U, .com, notified her last week that a photo she had posted on Twitter of her Chihuahua Zip also revealed where she lived. I immediately tweeted back to find out what I can do about it, said Ms. Parker. The site sent her a web link to instructions on how to turn off the geotag function on her LG Ally smartphone. I don't even know what any of those things mean. It's definitely good to know for me personally because of my social media work too, she said. Can you imagine, I mean, if this is coming out to you and me now in a news article, they're already using it, and it wasn't put there just innocuously. Why would they put geotags in photos? What is the purpose of that? Why did the makers of those machines do that? And just think of all the places you've uploaded photos in your life. How many times you sent them through email to grandma? I mean, things that you thought were private. How many of the teens that are out there doing this stupid stuff where they're sending, you know, photos every 5 minutes? Somebody can map out what you do every day, where you go, how long you're there. just by reading this data that you are giving away and streaming away. Now, I have photos and stuff up on Facebook. Now, we haven't tested it yet because I thought Lou had figured out how to do it, but he hadn't. But we are going to test it and see if we can do it with our photos up there that we took with a handheld digital camera, just off the shelf, I don't even know what kind, and a digital phone. We've got a couple digital phones with cameras that we carry them around in case the police harass us. So we do have photos up. But I tell everybody where I'm at anyway, every day when I do the show, so I'm not paranoid about it. But what about just being able to know where you go on vacation, being able to know where you work, where your kids go to? How many people take pictures of their kids dropping them off at school? I've seen it. How many of the cyber militia guys out there show pictures of all their guns on a bed, them with a mask on, standing behind them with a big "Don't Tread on Me" flag or whatever, holding their AR-15s up, take that picture, and now every criminal's like, I know where there's a whole bunch of guns. I know where some guys got like 30 guns all on, you know, and he brags about not being a hippie. He's got a job, so he's gone all day. How much intel do we give out freely? I run the risk. I mean, I have some things like people, you know, you don't really know who I am, and even people who have met me don't really know who I am. And I give out a lot of intel, but why should you be doing it? Why would you willingly start throwing out all this free stuff on you? We live in such a web right now. We live in such a sucking collection magnet data hungry beast in the belly of the beast where they just every little thing. I mean, you know, we get off on all the other topics here. They're doing this to your pictures. They want to put tags in all the clothing you buy at Walmart so they can tell where it goes and when you throw it out, when it wears out. They want to put on pill bottles. They want to put it in everything. Your car stereo, they want to have chips in your car stereo so when you drive by a movable billboard that's digital, they can change it to fit what you want, you know, kind of things that you buy. They want to put them in refrigerators so they can track the food in there and make up a little list for you and remind you when it's time to go buy the mayonnaise. All in the name of convenience and ease and fun. You know, it's all fun to be able to take these pictures. And I love I do it. I love sitting on the river taking a picture of my kids swimming and then sending it to their grandmas. There's something neat about that. But at what cost? And then look how they make it. They make you dig deep to turn it off. And then when you turn it off, you can't use the GPS on your phone now. Or it may not work in the Rome situation because it won't be able to find the towers. You hear it. While I'm sitting here, there are radio towers communicating with my cell phone on the shelf. Going, hey, where are you at? Did it. Oh, okay, I'm right here. Did it. Back and forth. Everything you have emits something, you know, unless you've got a wind-up analog watch, which mine's battery-operated, it's not wind-up. It's emitting some kind of frequency, and they know that, and they can embed any kind of data they want on that stuff. Garage door openers, key fobs, video games. It's very interesting to me that people don't get more concerned about that. I'm not cyber savvy. You can understand that because I kind of stopped caring about technology in about 95. Brian's in there. Welcome, Brian. He's in there. Let's see here. But it's sad that it's gotten this bad this fast. That's why this weekend we're going to be talking about compasses, good old-fashioned Girl Scout compasses. We're going to be talking about just basic technology. All those GMRS, FRS radios, you know they got that stuff in them. The older the technology you can find that's still workable, the better it is. People... glad you got to listen to, Brian. Let's see. That's good. See, this Facebook thing really works out. People can instantly... I'm not looking at the chat room right now. Let me take a look at the chat room again. Okay. RFID is in the money. Yes, that is right, Warland. Every bill that they're, you know, counterfeiting now has RFID in it. I knew... I worked on a case just forensically, and it was a bank robbery case, and when they were driving around with a handheld device looking for the money. And I go, what are you doing? And they said, this picks up large stacks of money. If you put all those RFID chips together, it amplifies the signal, and you can pick it up on the street. I'm like, you're kidding me. He goes, no. They were literally driving up and down streets looking for bundles of money where the bad guys had bolted from the car. They jumped from the car. I was like, you're pulling my leg. How can you, I mean, how can this little tiny strip in there? And then what I found out later is that what bank robbers do is they take it in and they, for like 3 seconds, they throw their money in a microwave and it disables it. Now, I'm not recommending you go do that with all your money right now because I don't know if it'll burn your money up, but I've just read that. I haven't tried it. Take a $20 bill, throw it in the microwave for like 3 seconds or a stack of them, it disables the RFID chip. They're asking, where can I get a device that does that? You can build anything you want. We got a Ramsey kit catalog today that had all kinds of receivers and sensors and doohickeys and kits, but you got to be able to solder to make your own. So they've got them out there. So all of you that abandon the banks like the Dutch Jones radio program has recommended and you're stuffing it in your mattress, you better wrap it in foil. What was that?
Sterno.
Wow, the sterno popped?
Sorry.
Wow, I've never heard one do that.
It's like 20 years old.
Ooh, smell it. Phew. It's a heating fuel.
It's like 20 years old.
Yeah, man, it must have got gassy. You smell it. Open a window, Lou, before I start getting too
Sorry.
Dizzy. We're opening sterno in a closed space. I've never had sterno do that. And I've used a lot of sterno. A lot of chafing pans. A lot of heating pans. Thank you, Lou.
Okay, little more. Let's not do that.
Yeah, that was weird. And a pop and then this horrible smell. Ooh, I'm feeling kind of dizzy now. So, yeah, I wouldn't light it inside. I don't know what you're going to heat up, but see, that's what we do up here. We actually live primitively in buildings. I don't know how hot it is here. It's probably 100 today. Not incredibly hot, but it's 100 degrees here today.
What is that in Celsius?
What is that in dog years? I don't know.
It's in Celsius.
Yeah, in dog years? I don't know how hot it is in dog years, Lou. I saw a bumper sticker or something the other day that says, in dog years, I'm already dead. I thought that was pretty funny. I had a picture of an old guy on it. I think Dwayne sent me that. That was pretty good. That was really good. But, I mean, am I being overly paranoid here? I mean, I don't think that's going to be how they defeat us because I just have this belief that God's going to sneeze or something or burp, and there goes all their electronic devices anyway. You know, I'm kind of a Luddite. I'd rather depend on primitive stuff. I mean, the primitive stuff fails. My Mosin Nagant is, you know, messed up right now. The magazine won't feed, you know. But it's still, I rely on the primitive better than I do on modern stuff. You know, big pushes in the next generation of this and that. I don't always buy into it. I like the older stuff. Being able to tell which direction you're going with a stick and some rocks and the sun. You know, or a good old-fashioned compass. But I have GPS. We've got two of them now. I had more. I sold one because it just kept getting us lost. We kept ending up in the middle of orange groves. It was really weird. One of those TomTom things. It wasn't a TomTom, though. It was something else, but same kind of thing. But we've got, on the computer that Lou's using, we've got DeLorme
Street Atlas,
which works really well. And then I've got an old handheld Magellan that we use, you know, for getting actually on, you know, within a few meters or something. But I know. And the minute we turn on this laptop, it's telling a story to everybody else. The minute we plug it in, it's telling a story to the whole world. I mean, you know, people that are beyond the distance of the these computers, how many people have computers that have a little infrared? This one doesn't have it.
This one does.
That one has infrared on it. Do you know that when you're sitting, I used to do this, I'd sit at Starbucks, and I would scan for infrared connections and get into people's computers because I didn't protect them. I didn't do anything with it. I was like, you know, a tiny white hat hacker. But I just, you know, wow, I can get in these people's computers. I wish I had Lou around at that time because he knows how to take over somebody's computer so that, it, like, you can control it. You can move their mouse around and open up their DVD tray and all that. That would have been funny. But sitting at Starbucks, I could get into computers. When I was a private investigator and I'd be casing some joint, the first thing I'd do is I'd look to see who's got Wi-Fi. Hey, Rocky Hill got on.
Yay!
Yay, I didn't even know you were in the same state. I didn't know you were an Era computer. Welcome. The little lady says hi. Not my little lady, your little lady. My little lady's in the house down the hill hiding from me. She's in the room, though. I see Touch Jones redneck. I think it's redneck wife. Is that what it is? Because it cuts it off.
Yeah, I don't see it, man.
Yeah, that's weird. Not on my computer. I can't see it at all. It's like it stops at redneck. So I don't know if she's in there. If I turn up my sound system any louder, parts of the city will back out. The city will back out. I'm not sure. Are we broadcasting low? Do we have a low level?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it sounded good to everybody. Oh, there she is. There's Stacy. Good. I'm glad you're there. But this technology thing, you know, I've got old tube-type radios in there for transmitters. I've got old CBs. And I know they don't have that kind of technology in them, so that's why I depend on them. And, you know, I don't share this kind of stuff with you to scare you. And It's just a knowledge thing. You know, I don't want you to use this and be afraid and go, oh, I know people that are like, oh, I don't even want to turn on my car. I don't even, you know, my toaster's telling on me. No, it's not that bad. But knowing how to use it might be interesting. Think how you could turn that around on people. Think how you could turn that around on people. You got your, you know, GPS stuff, and you know they're looking for you, and you tape it to the bottom of a truck with like 5 9-volt batteries so it lasts for a week instead of just a day, and just let it go. Put it on a train. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to, like, you know, put like a tracking device on a train to see where the cars actually go. It's use these things against them. Plus, they have to rely upon two things for them to work: their infrastructure and their electricity. Oh wow, the music's already starting. I thought it came out the window. It sounded like it was coming from outside. I'm like, hey, there's somebody dancing out there. What are we playing? Is this one of the new ones? I think it's the Warriors Ballad. What's it say? Who is it? I don't, yeah, it could be the Wolf Tones. So, folks, we'll be back, and hopefully we will be on Liberty Tree Radio. We are unable to control our funds right now, so we haven't sent them any money, so they may or may not let us up. That's cool. But we're just getting ourselves set back up again. We're going to be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Thanks for the donations today. Keep it up. Everybody just give $5. If everybody listening to this show, whether it's live, the pod people, whatever, sends us $5, we'll keep going and growing. We'll be back after the break on Liberty Tree Radio and You Broadcast with the Dutch Jones Radio Program.
A new world order.
How can you have a house?
house without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't treat him.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
world order. Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
The INS had their cameras trained on it.
I could barely hear that, but that was that Shackelford? What's his name?
Rusty Shackelford.
Rusty Shackelford from King of the Hill. I love that show.
Yeah.
Show would give you a sense of humor, a sense of family, a sense of honor. You know, yeah. Hank Hill always did the right thing, and then he had his wacko friends to just make it a little more interesting.
Hank Hill?
Kind of reminds me of living around here, actually. I don't know, except I'm one of the weird friends. I'm not the stalwart Hank Hill. I definitely am not. Okay, folks. Ooh, I got to turn down that volume a little bit. We are back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio, folks, for tuning in. We appreciate that outlet and the folks on You Broadcast. We're getting a lot of folks on Facebook. I'm getting lots of... Whoa. I have no idea what that was. Sorry about that down the line to all the stations in the network. Sorry about the glitch. I have no idea what that was. It's something internal to the board, which is good because we found an audio board today of all places at Sears and Walmart and a bunch of places, and it's a five-track portable soundboard made specifically for remote radio broadcasting over phone lines and the internet. It's got one balanced microphone input. I don't know what that is, Lou. Are you touching something with your foot?
No.
Keep your feet from moving. I don't know what that was. We'll see later, because it has to be coming through one of the pods. Anyway, it comes with a complete packet. We're under attack. Things are hitting the roof now outside. I don't know if you guys heard that. A squirrel or something just died and fell out of the tree. But it's got one balanced input, and one microphone input, and five RCA phonograph inputs. Not phonograph, but you know what I mean, standard audio. So we can hook the phone up. We can hook up a couple DVD players and, you know, play bits of videos. It'll be perfect for us. And then it's got a USB output, and then it's got phono output, you know. So it'll be perfect. And it's $99 at Sears or Walmart. We'd probably get it from Walmart. I did find it for $85 somewhere, but... I'd rather pay a few bucks and just go get it off the shelf. Walmart doesn't have it on the shelf. That's not what I meant. But you can have it delivered to their delivery back there. So we're going to be working on that in the next month. We need to raise an additional $100 to get that soundboard. It'll help us with this. And when we do remotes, it'll be even better. It's still AC powered, but we got inverters with solar panels and all kinds of stuff. But it'll be a nice little grounded out. We can ground it. We can do all that. Stuff like that. I buy everything from Walmart, Rocky Hill. There, I get my stuff. My enemy is my supply pod. They are my quartermaster. This is made by a major company. I forgot the name. It's on Lou's computer. I just pointed my finger at you and it made a popping sound like you're going to be shot. I don't know what that is, man. Bang your mic. See, do that. Here, that'll help. Okay, we got the demon out. Thank you, Lou, for banging on your mic when I asked you to. You usually just go, no, I don't want to. But that was good. See, I'm afraid now. Every time I touch the table or something,
yeah.
Are you hitting any keys when it does it? Is there
no.
Anything you're doing? We got to isolate this. Okay, I'm wiggling that. That's my microphone cable. Let's see here, Lou. Did you get any pizza or anything behind here? Let's look. Oh. It's in the phone line. Again, what is it with this phone line? We must have rats in here chewing on this thing. Okay, here's part of it here. Oh, right here. Here it is. Hear it humming?
Yeah.
Is that what makes it beep?
No, it's going pop. Okay, let's isolate that. I could be because I was touching my computer. It was under the computer. See this foil here? This candy wrapper was touching it and grounding it out. See, I feel like MacGruber now. I figured it out. No, that didn't do it. That just hurt. Okay, let's take down your audio. Stops. Okay, I just took down the audio there. We'll see what happens. You should look at it. Ads are, it runs on 9 volt and 12 volt DC and a wall wart. As a Walmart, it takes AC to DC. The enemy is our quartermaster, Walmart. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, Ed. And you'll be able to hook it right up to a 12-volt battery, so you're familiar with the product I'm looking at. That would be great, because then we could just throw everything in one of the vehicles that's running when they're running, and we can do the show. Thanks, Ed. I just discovered it today. I was actually looking for a new soundboard, a new big soundboard for the church, because this one's freaking out on us.
Behringer?
Huh? Behringer.
Behringer.
It's a Behringer what?
Like Behringer?
Yeah.
Podcast Studio USB.
Yeah, yeah. Podcast
Studio
USB. It's got everything in there. Yeah. No, it's a little tiny board. I just found it on the side when I was looking for big boards. This one's a little tiny. I mean, it's like the size of... I don't have anything around here to compare it to. It's smaller than a bread box, smaller than a toaster. It's perfect. Actually, our phone line thing would be bigger. And the other thing we're trying to do is we're trying to hook our cell phones in so we can do it, so that way you guys can call wherever we're at and that kind of stuff. We'll do. So it's pretty good. Just put it, cut and paste it, and put it in the room so they can look at it. Lou's going to put it in there, but it's $99. So in this next 4 weeks, we want to raise $99 specifically for that soundboard, because Stacy got laid off, and we just found out we're not going to get paid her last checks for 2 weeks. So whatever money we get is going to go to back feeding us, you know. But we're into our survival food again. So Lou, put that in there so you can see what we're talking about there. Let's get back to what we were talking. Well, we were talking about something else before. We'll get on another new topic here, folks. Everything's going good. It's cooling off a little bit. It's been under 100 for the last several days. We're liking that. Let's see. What should we talk about next? Oh, here's a fun one. I don't mean to get, you know, too utility on you, but I got this thing on like 46 uses for salt. Okay, I'm getting IMs about tar balls in the Gulf, and it's just because Obama's swimming in the Gulf again. Let's see here. Yeah, you think you take a bath before you go in the Gulf. How many of you can come up with more than... I can only come up with two uses for salt. Salting food and putting it to flavor it. Now, according to the Salt Institute, there's 14,000 different uses for salt. And we're all about spices here. We're all about... In fact, in a tangent, Lewis and I and his grandpa, he got us the jerky gun, where you make... has nothing to do with New Jersey. You jerk ground meat. You grind up meat and you put it through. You add the spices. You knead it in. You put it on little racks. You bake it for 45 minutes in an oven at about 200 to 210 degrees. And we made all this jerky out of some really bad beef that we had purchased. The beef was from an old bull. It just was nasty. It wouldn't even make a hamburger. It wouldn't stick together. I don't know what was wrong with it, but it was still meat. We didn't want to get rid of it. We had about 150 pounds of it. So we're going to start doing that. So the spices are important, and salt is a very good mineral/spice, whatever you want to call it. And you can use it for all kinds of stuff. Now, they're saying at the Salt Institute, there are 14,000 different uses. Now, the website, let me get the website here, if it shows it to me. Let's see if it shows it. Open, let's see, copy link location. So, and then I got to go over here and put it here so I can read it to you. Control V. Oh boy, it's like this big old long one. Here, hang on. TheSaltInstitute.org. Excuse me, not the. Just www.saltinstitute.org. www.saltinstitute.org. Now, this is stuff that's going to be useful. This isn't just like, you know, oh, using it for toothpaste. We all know that. But they're saying that they can't think of any other more versatile mineral. Salt is the most common and readily available non-metallic mineral in the world. In fact, the supply of salt is inexhaustible. I mean, if you zap the planet, it'll be gone, but I don't know how they say inexhaustible. For thousands of years, salt, otherwise known as sodium chloride by you geeks out there, has been used to preserve food and for cleaning, and people have continued to rely on it for all kinds of nifty tricks. So, with its non-toxic friendliness and status as an endlessly abundant resource, let's swap out some toxic solutions for ample, innocuous, and inexpensive salt. Now, a lot of people have high blood pressure. Salt's not good for you because it turns turns your blood into goo. So it's not completely harmless, but you know, I'm not telling you to go out and eat salt. I read this article, and I started craving salt. So I went and peeled a potato, cut it up, and then just put a little salt on my plate and dipped it in it and ate it. Now, in the kitchen, aside from the alchemy that salt performs in terms of baking, chemistry, and food flavor, salt has a number of other great applications in the kitchen. Now, you can test egg freshness with salt. I don't remember this one at all being taught in home ec, and I grew up in a hick town. Put 2 teaspoons of salt in a cup of water and place an egg in it. Yeah. A fresh egg will sink. An older egg will float. Because the air cell of an egg increases as it ages, an older egg is more buoyant. This doesn't mean a floating egg is rotten, just more mature. Crack the egg into a bowl and examine it for any funky odor or appearance. Well, you can do that anyway. If it's rotten, your nose will tell you. Bonus fact, if you have a hard-boiled egg that's difficult to peel, that means they are fresh. Because salt increases the temperature of boiling water, it helps to set the whites more quickly when eggs are dropped into water for poaching. So if you poach eggs in salt water, now again, I know you guys with high blood pressure like me are going, I can't have any salt. This is for people that hopefully you'll be working your butt off all day in the cause of liberty. You won't have that problem after the fall. Now, this is one I didn't know about. Most of us use lemon or vinegar to stop peeled apples and pears from browning. But you can also drop them in lightly salted water to help them keep their color. So if you're going to be putting fresh fruit out, it's not a canning solution, but you're going to put them out for the workers during the day, dipping them in a little bit of salt water will work. Now, I love the way apples taste with a little bit of salt on them, so that's kind of a nice one. So it helps keep them from browning. You can use on pears or apples or anything like that. Shell nuts, you can shell nuts more easily. Now, if you soak pecans and walnuts in salt water for several hours before shelling to make, it'll make it easier to remove the nuts from inside the casing. So you soak them in salt water. Prevent cake icing crystals. This one I didn't even understand. I don't even know what a cake icing crystal is. A little salt added to cake icing prevents them from sugaring.
Huh.
I don't know what that means. The ladies in the audience are cookers. Okay. Now, here's one that Lou needs to listen to. It removes odors from your hands. If you have oniony, garlicky fingers, I like soap and water, then rubbing them with anything made of stainless steel. It really works. But you can also rub your fingers with a salt and vinegar combo. Those fans of vinegar. We're going to do a whole show on vinegar coming up. I got a lady, some lady who just loves vinegar who wants me to read it. She's putting together a compilation of everything you do with vinegar. Now, this one's kind of weird. I don't make, like, meringue pies or anything, but if you add a tiny pinch of salt when beating egg whites or whipping cream for quicker, higher peaks, I don't know what that means either. I think that's meringue, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're making... Okay. Extend cheese life. Now, this is very important to me because I love cheese. You can prevent mold on cheese by wrapping it in a cloth moistened in salt water before refrigerating it. Huh. This is something we need to work on, too, because we're going to be having goats and cows and making cheese up here. So, this one's pretty good. I like this one because whenever I throw pizzas or anything in the oven, I always make a mess of the bottom of the oven. Save the bottom of your oven. If a pie, casserole, pizza bubbles over, put a handful of salt on top of the spill. It won't smoke and smell. It will bake into a crust and make the baked on mess much easier to clean up later with like a little putty knife or something. So you can put salt on those types. Plus, salt works as an extinguisher too, I think, in some cooking fires. It extends toothbrush life. Soak toothbrushes in salt water before you first use. They will last longer. Don't know how to prove or disprove that one. Just throwing it out there. You know, don't send me letters if you've tried it and you've ruined your toothbrush. Clean teeth. Use 1 part of salt to 2 parts of baking soda. Dip your toothbrush in the mix and brush as usual. You can also use the same mix dissolved in water for orthodontic appliances. You know, put my false teeth in there overnight. Folks, if you've got other uses for salt and I haven't hit them yet, give me a call. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. I know I usually do Monday spiritually, but I moved today to be more practical. So we're talking about salt. 559-561-8225. See, that popping stopped when I brought down your pot. So it's something through the input. I'm going to put it back up, and if we hear it again, what were we at? 6 over here? Then we'll know it's something on the input, and we can check the lines. I like this one. Great for rinsing your mouth. Everybody knows that. I love using salt water to rinse. Salt water and peroxide are the two things I use. If you have canker sores, abscesses, you can rinse your mouth with a weak solution of warm salt water several times a day. When I get sore throats, I don't run to the pharmacy. I have a bottle of spray peroxide that's diluted. I don't know what dilution is. It's regular peroxide with probably 50% water, and I gargle with salt. That's what I do. It gets me through it, and I don't have to take a bunch of sugary, alcohol-laden ailments from, you know, the corner of Walgreens. Although if I'm miserable, I will use those, I have to admit. Let's see. Relieve bee sting pain. This one, I don't get stung by bees much, and I haven't had a chance to try it, but I'm going to look forward to it. Immediately dampen area and back and pack with a small pile of salt to reduce pain and swelling. Now, I think this is probably just because it dries up the venom. It probably leaches it out, but a nice salt pack on a lot of things will work. But there are some wounds, and we know just from the saying, pouring salt on a wound. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this, and this is one of those personal moments. If you don't like hearing too much information, no. You got to turn your radio off right now and come back. I'll tell you when to come back. Turn your radio off. I'll tell you when to come back. Lou's taking his headphones off.
Oh, I hear.
When I moved to California, I had a raging problem with hemorrhoids.
Ew!
I started going swimming in the ocean every single day. I was boogie boarding, swimming, snorkeling. I was totally getting into that lifestyle. Within about a month, everything went away. And I went to my doctor. He said, it's the salt water. Salt water cured your hemorrhoids. Haven't had a problem since. So salt water is amazing for wounds like that. Okay, turn your radios back on. Put your headphones back on. Hello, are you there? See, they never listen to me. Mosquito bites, bee stings, a poultice, P-O-U-L-T-I-C-E, of salt mixed with olive oil. You put that on the bite, and it'll help. Now, up here, we only have mosquitoes for about a 45-minute period every day, but if we're working out in it, nice little thing to help take it out of. Poison ivy, I've done this. It doesn't seem to distinguish between itches. I've used poison ivy salt for poison ivy, for oak, sumac. Stinging nettles, I've rubbed salt water on it. That tends to help a little bit. Those types of things. And then, you know, there are other remedies for it. I'm not saying these are the exclusive ones. If you got one, call in. Have an exfoliating massage. Now, this one's a little weird. After bathing and while still wet, give yourself a massage with dry salt. Now, I have sea salt. We have regular salt. We have sea salt. You know, the sea salt's kind of big, granular. It might put some good marks on you. But they're saying a nice salt massage. Okay. Yeah. Throat pain, I already talked about that. Mix salt and warm water. Gargle for sore throat. Now, here's some stuff that it works with around the house, not just for ailments. Sprinkle salt at doorways, windowsills, and anywhere else ants sneak into your house. Ants don't like to walk on salt. Now, that's always been, like, I've always seen, like, old folks, and they're blessing the house with salt and stuff. Maybe that's where that came from. You can use it to extinguish grease fires. Keep a box of salt near your stove and oven. If your grease fire flares up, douse the flames with salt. Never use water on grease fires, as it will splatter the burning grease, and your insurance guy will yell at you. I have no personal experience with that, but I know someone who does. When salt is applied to fire, it acts like a heat sink and dissipates the heat from the fire. It also forms an oxygen-excluding crust to smother the fire. So remember that. Don't throw it on a burning person. You don't want crusty salt on a burning person. Drip-proof candles. This one amazed me. I want to try this one. If you soak new candles in a strong salt solution for a few hours, dry them well, they will not drip as much when you burn them. So we have to do a little experiment. We'll have one. What are you looking at, Lou? They're putting other stuff in there?
There's a PM from Rocky Hill.
Oh, okay. They keep flowers fresh. And I really don't have a need for that, but a dash of salt added to the water in a flower vase will let cut flowers last longer. You can also try an aspirin or a dash of sugar. I've always been told sugar and aspirin because it opens them up. Arrange artificial flowers can be held in place by pouring salt into a vase, adding a little cold water, and then arranging the flowers. The salt will become solid as it dries and hold the flowers in place. It's kind of a waste of salt for me. I mean, you know. Make Play-Doh. I used to make Play-Doh as a kid because we couldn't afford the real stuff, but it always seemed like getting the dye and everything together would cost just as much as buying me the Play-Doh, but I guess my mom wanted to teach me something. Use 1 cup flour, 1/2 cup salt, 1 cup water, 2 tablespoons oil, and 2 tablespoons cream of tartar, plus food coloring. Stir together flour, cream of tartar, salt, and oil, and slowly add water. Put them all together. Cook over medium heat, stirring frequently until dough becomes stiff. Spread on wax paper and let cool. Knead the dough with your hands until it reaches a good doughy consistency. And you can use different juices and things to dye them too. You don't have to go get the commercial food coloring. Potato skins, if you leach the starch or whatever, it comes out red. There's iron in it or something. I've always learned you can make red dye that way. Repair walls. This one's kind of funny. To fill nail holes, fix chips and other small dings in white sheetrock or plaster walls with 2 tablespoons of salt and 2 tablespoons of cornstarch. Then add water, about 5 teaspoons, and make the paste thick. Use the paste to fill the holes. I've always used toothpaste. But you can mix baking soda? Da, 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 da. Yeah. I know my eyes are doing something weird here. So you can fix holes, you can fix chips, deter patio weeds. If weeds and grass grow between the bricks or blocks in your patio, sidewalk or driveway, carefully spread salt between. That was something that like the old emperors would do when they'd conquer somebody. They'd spread salt on their land so nothing would grow there. That's very biblical. Sprinkle, put the salt on, then sprinkle water on it. It'll kill everything. That's what I'm told. We'll have to practice somewhere. It'll kill poison ivy. You can de-ice sidewalks. You can tame a wild barbecue. Toss a bit of salt on flames from food drippings and barbecue grills to reduce the flames and calm the smoke without cooling the coals like water does. That's always a good one. Now, cleaning, salt works as an effective yet gentle scouring agent. Salt also serves as a catalyst for other ingredients, such as vinegar, to boost cleaning and deodorizing action. For basic soft scrub, make a paste with lots of salt, baking soda, and dish soap, and use on appliances. I mean, you're already using the dish soap, but I guess the salt acts as a course, kind of like when you use Ajax. It's kind of crusty, kind of chunky. You can clean sink drains, pour salt mixed with hot water down the kitchen sink regularly. That gets rid of the stink. My mom used to do that with the stink. Then she'd use a little bit of lemon oil behind it to get rid of the stink of the garbage disposal or whatever else me and my brothers have been forcing down there. Remove water rings. Gently rub a thin paste of salt and vegetable oil on the white marks caused by beverage glasses and hot dishes and wooden tables. I've also used it in bathtubs to get rid of the ring. Clean greasy pans. Cast iron skillets can be cleansed with a good sprinkling of salt and paper towels. Of course, paper towels are going to be worth their weight in gold after the fall, so you have to find something else other than paper towels. I said just use your bare hands and the salt. Clean stained cups. We talked a little bit about that. Coffee cups, those kind of things that will come out with salt. Refrigerators, clean brass and copper. Cleans up rust, which is funny because salt causes rust. Clean your coffee pot. Takes out wine spills. Those of you that drink wine, it helps. If you immediately cover the wine with a pile of salt, it helps pull the remaining wine away from the fiber. After dinner, soak the tablecloth in cold water for 30 minutes before laundering. Of course, I don't drink wine, so those of you that do. It helps get rid of over-sudsing. If you live in a place where you get a lot of suds from your washing machine, you can add some salt. Now, out here in the Central Valley, they hate that. They're talking about banning putting, the salt water softeners here in the Central Valley. They're telling us we can't use them anymore here because it does that. But salt will get rid of suds. Dry clothes in the winter. Use salt in the final laundry rinse to prevent clothes from freezing. If you use an outdoor clothesline in the winter, you're going to have salty flavored clothes, though. So if you live in bear country, be ready to get licked. But if you use salt water for the rinse, because we know salt water freezes at a much lower temperature. It's the fresh water that makes the icebergs and all that kind of stuff, right? Remove perspiration stains. Are you listening up, Lou? Add 4 tablespoons of salt to 1 quart of hot water and sponge the fabric with solution until stains fade, because there's mostly a lot of salts in there. Blood stains can be removed with it. If you do, use cold water to get them out, out damn spot, Macbeth kind of thing. But you got to use cold water and salt. Remove blood stains. Tackle mildew and rust stains. Moisten stained spots with a mixture of lemon juice and salt. I use bleach, but then spread the item in the full sun for bleaching, then rinse and dry. So if you've got clothes, and this always happens to me, I forget about a load of clothes in the washer. And I go back a couple days later, and they're mildew and stinky. I dry them anyway. I try and wash them, and they still smell that way. This is a good way of doing it. A little bit of lemon juice and some salt water, and let them dry out on the line or, lay them out in the sun. Clean a gunky iron bottom. Now, if you have an iron bottom, you've got more problems than salt will probably serve. Sprinkle a little salt on a piece of paper and run the hot iron, over it to remove rough, sticky spots. There you go. It helps set color when you're dyeing. I've done that when I make my ghillie suits. I use salt in the water, make it color fast, so they don't bleach if I'm out in the rain and they can track me because I look like my mascara is running all over my body in a ghillie suit. So I could go on for days like this. That somebody even sent me 9 uses for beer. I'm not even going to open that one. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the input. I'm getting... Oh, people like this. Oh, salt works in shotguns, Andrew sent me. Thank you, Andrew. Oh, boy, we got a bunch over here, too. Pinch of egg whites. I'm getting all kinds of recipes now. 50-50 blend of salt and baking soda in a cotton ball and place it on an abscessed tooth. It acts as a salve to draw out the infection. Thank you, Brian.
Ooh.
Wow, that's good. Getting all kinds of stuff. Put an orange half and salt together for a deodorizer. That's great. I'm getting this. Is who knew salt would get the responses?
Preserves pork.
You guys don't, huh?
Someone said preserves pork.
You can preserve the all important pork. Thank you, Brian. And we need pork because we need to figure out how to launch it at these sites that they're building the mosques at. So, but that took up a half hour just reading 48. And they say there's 14,000 uses on that site. 14,000 uses on that site. We buy as much salt as we can. We buy all kinds of salt. I even get a bunch of kosher salt I found the other day that we had bought. Just got a little kosher symbol on it, a little Star David thing and a K. But salt. When we talk about making jerky and stuff next week, when I break out my jerky gun and do a show and tell, Lou ate all the jerky. We passed it around church. Did you like it? Did you get any? Everybody seemed to like it. I thought it tasted a lot like when you order the old Domino's. I don't know about the new one. Domino's sausage pizza.
Sausage.
It tasted like the sausage on there, and this was beef that was just nasty. We couldn't give this meat away. Not because it was rancid. Because the bull was so stinking old, there was like zero fat content in it. You couldn't make a patty out of it. What we ended up doing is mixing it with like onion soup mix and doing everything we can to make a meatloaf out of it. But we wanted to be able to just so jerky. But salt's going to be very imperative to preserving meat. Salt. And it's cheap right now. And you can go buy bags of the salt you throw on your front. Those of you that live in the east or in cold weather, you guys know about this already. Bags of salt, folks. Bags of salt, cheap. Gonna be money. Gonna be a barter item. Hand out little handouts of everything I told you. Okay, we'll be back after the break. This is Dutch Jones. We got 1.5 hour left. I have no idea what I'm gonna talk about. We'll see what we can do. Bye.
From my mind, and I feel my own heart beating out the simple joy of living. And I wonder how I ever was that kind. But the wild road I was rambling was always out there calling, and you said 100 times I should have died. Then you reached down and touched me and lifted me up with you, so I believe it was a road I was meant to ride. I'm like a soldier getting over the war. I'm like a young man getting over his crazy days, like a bandit getting over his lawless ways. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm like a soldier getting over the war. There are nights I don't remember, and pain that's been forgotten, and a lot of things I choose not to recall. There are faces that come to me in my darkest secret memories, faces that I wish would not come back at all. But in my dreams, parade of lovers from the other times and places, there's not one that matters now, no matter who. I'm just thankful for the journey, and that I survived the battles, and that my spoils of victory is you. I'm like a soldier getting over the war. I'm like a young man getting over his crazy days, like a bandit getting over his lawless ways. Every day gets better than the day before. I'm like a soldier getting over the war.
best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Obey me!
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
Attention!
The government is
an emergency. Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Waiting.
I thought we agreed never to discuss the horrors that we saw on the killing fields of the Fun Center.
Killing fields of the Fun Center. Oh boy. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program where we talk about some of the weirdest stuff. I mean, you know, one day I was listening to the archive. I think I went like 20 minutes on Bigfoot one time. But I try to bring up things that are practical. That's why we were talking about salt. And I got probably more comments. I probably got 30 or 40 IMs and emails and stuff on I'm getting more on salt. Somebody keeps getting kicked out of the chat room, Lou, and it's kind of weird. They're IMing me saying they can't stay in. Warlin, strange. I'm telling him I'm sorry he can't get in. It's probably he was the one. Did he make any comments about pork? Maybe the guy running over there at Facebook or at you broadcast that's monitoring us is a Muslim or something. Kind of weird. You never know who's in control. You never know who's listening. Could just be random dumb luck. And that, I mean, that's just the way it goes. I mean, we can sit here and, you know, go, oh, they're out to get me. But it could just be that we have garbage equipment that we've put together to make it work, and we're happy to do that. Every time I come in here, I feel like a teenager again, working with my 1972, I think it was 72 Maverick, or my 76 Vega, trying to keep it running. I actually enjoy the challenge of it. You know, it's kind of like Baba Black Sheep, their mechanic trying to keep them in the air. But it would be nice to have a new soundboard, and you guys have been looking at the soundboard. I just looked at it from, hey, I can push these buttons and I can make this happen. But technical-wise, if anybody has any advice on it, Lou posted it. But we'd like to raise $100 to get that within 4 weeks, you know, just 4 weeks. And that way we'll have it. I want it before the conference because we're going to be doing a lot of interviews during the conference, I think. And I want to be able to, you know, get them down. I don't have to worry about lugging the soundboards around and everything like that. So it'll be good. Did it again. That's weird. I don't know what it is. It's like a voltage. Okay, I'm going to turn you down and see if it stops. Okay, we're sitting here. Lou's audio input. Remind me to bring it back up at the end of the show, Lou. Okay, it's not doing it again. It's something, I don't know. Could be a splitter, could be a connector, could be a reducer, an enlarger. I mean, this stuff is built with Radio Shack handouts and stuff I found, you know, in barns and stuff around here. So do the best we can. Well, this next story that we're going to talk about the last half hour, I keep telling you guys that even though I don't believe that 9/11 was just an Islamo-fascist attack, I believe there was a lot more involved there. I still believe that they are a threat. And I also believe the New World Order is not happy with the way the Muslims have been keeping their part of the bargain. You know, they're not attacking us like they threatened. You know, they're not. You don't see every day these shoe bomber attempts. So the terror quotient in our minds is dissipating, and maybe we're getting. You know, we're putting too much attention on our own government. You know, more and more people are angry that our own government. I mean, you got secession being spoken all over the place. I talked about Chuck Baldwin talking about secession. We've got local radio hosts here having people on talking about secession. People on Fox, CNN, all that. So they're like, hey, wait a minute, we got to take the Muslims aren't working out, you know, they're not doing enough with these mosques and things, we got to make it a little better. So suddenly I've noticed that we've been seeing a lot of saber rattling and you know, on the Pacific Rim. You know, of course, you guys all know about North Korea and the maniac running that country and how he may or may not be a stooge for China, we don't know. I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what they are is they're sufficient wolves in the woods for the New World Order folks in our government to say, hey, look, we got to protect you from them. So today I've been thinking that for the last 2 weeks. You know, when are they going to come out and start making us worry about China? You know, you've read 1984. You know, the three different conglomerations of nations back and forth. You know, they've always been our enemy. No, they've always been our friend. And then they rotate it. Well, I think China is going to step up for the United States. I think China's going to say, okay, we'll play the bad guy now because you need a world-class bad guy. China, India, United States, Russia. You know, maybe if you want to say that we're the four, you know, moving economically, but America's definitely falling. The other three may be going up. We're definitely falling. They may still lie and say we're number one. I don't see how we can be with the way our economy is. However, China needs to step up and start threatening us again, or you guys are going to lose focus on the outside and focus on the inside. So I get this article. The Pentagon's releasing all these press releases all of a sudden on what China's doing. That doesn't mean that they're really a threat. It doesn't mean that they are aiming at. I'm not shifting my focus. I'm just giving you this information so you can see how the spin doctors use enemies to get you to focus on them instead of on who's really our enemy. Our government is our biggest enemy right now. Period. So this is AP, Associated Press, and Flattery. It was today at 5:31 p.m. Eastern Time, so it's older. You know, it's about 4 or 5 hours old. China is driven to transform itself into a major military power, is being pursued in a secretive manner that increases the potential for misunderstanding and military conflict with other nations, the Pentagon says in a new report. That's the first paragraph right there. Boom, in your face. China's drive to transform itself into a major military power is being pursued in a secretive manner that increases the potential for misunderstanding and a military conflict with other nations, the Pentagon said in a new report. So they're getting you ready here. Okay, we got, you know, we don't have Russia anymore. Personally, I wish they'd go after Canada, but that's just me. Now, the Defense Department's annual assessment released Monday says Beijing is upgrading its hefty arsenal of land-based missiles, modernizing its nuclear forces, and expanding its fleet of attack submarines. Oh boy, let's get the UN sanctions going. But wait, they won't do that to China. Oh, let's get an embargo going. Let's blockade them. Let's cut off their medical aid to China. Oh, wait, we can't do that because they hold our debt. See? Selective persecution of our enemies. So they're going to allow China to do this because we need them to be big, bad, and ugly and grow some fangs. The effort comes as China has suspended military-to-military talks with the U.S., which could reassure the U.S. about the motives behind Beijing's military buildup. So they're already saying, okay, we're already on this path, and they're not talking to us. China refuses to talk to us. U.S.-China relations have been particularly strained. I always have problems with the word particularly. Strained in recent months as China rejected the results of an investigation blaming North Korea for the sinking of a South Korean warship. China's military buildup is also seen as a threat to the U.S. ability to defend, here it comes, Taiwan. That little island there that broke away that everybody refuses to recognize, but yet we trade with it. We give it all kinds of military support. We sell them things, all kinds of stuff. We have an agreement to protect them. And, you know, it's funny. When somebody secedes from China, it's okay. When somebody secedes from Russia, we get all upset at them. When somebody secedes in the United States, we call it criminal. But when Taiwan secedes from mainland China, we support them. The bias is numbing. The congressionally mandated report doesn't contain any surprises. It's long been known that China, emerging as a world economic powerhouse on your dollar, is pouring billions of dollars into offensive and defensive military capabilities to protect its regional interests. When did we see this happen before? Japan. Prior to World War II, we were pouring tons of money into Japan, selling them scrap metal, giving them everything, sending them aid after their major earthquake. They always do this. They always build up their enemies. The New World Order. They'll build up the players, get them ready for the standing toe-to-toe, and who always pays the price? Middle and lower class American youth who go give their lives. Now, both U.S. officials, but U.S. officials say the trend is disappointing because of the secrecy surrounding the moves, which makes it difficult to gauge Beijing's intentions. Yeah, we want a foreign country to open up everything they're doing to us. That proves that this is all just a facade. This is all just a game they play. Meanwhile, we give military secrets, military trades, most favored nation status. We allow them to maintain this trade deficit that's ridiculous. We allow them to take, and protect their companies, but yet they will not allow many of our companies to go over there and sell stuff. What few companies there are still in America? China has refused to meet with senior Pentagon officials this year, including Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's quitting, who was rebuffed from traveling to China during a visit to Asia in June. It's been ambiguous over the past several months, a senior defense official said, how the Pentagon regards its relationship with China. The official, not authorized to speak publicly, but yet did, spoke on condition of anonymity. That's just a controlled leak, folks. The report says that the limited transparencies in China's military and security affairs enhances uncertainty and increases the potential for misunderstanding and miscalculation. See, they're building the minutia now. Remember with Japan, language barrier, cultural differences. I'm not saying there's going to be a war with China. I'm not saying that. I don't know if there is. We've had so many false starts since this whole Cold War thing concept started. Who knows? There'll be little flare-ups. Who knows? But they want to build China as the big bad wolf. Now, China has been dismissive of U.S. accusations that the growth or modernization of its military poses any kind of threat. U.S. officials say China could do more to promote stability in its region and join Western nations in denouncing Iran and North Korea's nuclear ambitions. So the game below, you know, above board is a game of blackmail. Why are you building up? Why don't you come play with us? We don't like the fact that you have a gun. We should be the only ones with guns. You know, American imperialism, that's what it's going to look like. Beijing's answer has been sometimes yes and sometimes no. Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said earlier this year, among the findings in the Pentagon report is that China has as many as 1,150 short-range ballistic missiles and is acquiring an unknown number of medium-range missiles. China also is developing artillery systems with an ability to strike across the Taiwan Strait, the report says. See, the fear-mongering. They have the ability to shoot our allies and nuke them. They've had the ability to nuke Los Angeles for years. Remember when a high-ranking Chinese general, when we were going to deliver some nuclear-capable subs or something to Taiwan, got up in their, whatever their party bureau thing is, their Politburo, and said, okay, go ahead and deliver those subs. How much do you like Los Angeles? And the subs turned around and came back. Do you guys remember that a few years ago? China, you know, is a sleeping dragon. We may have been the sleeping giant, sleeping lion, but China is a sleeping dragon. They perfected warfare over centuries while we were still trying to figure out how to farm muck in Europe. Their dynasties were huge, giant, great big, massive. The United States does not want to go to war with China. For one, they own us. It's pretty much on paper they own us. They buy up all of our debt. In fact, I think they're getting tired of that. They told Hillary to take a hike last time. They have us over a barrel financially. What if they cashed in all their, you know, their treasury bills, all that? I don't mean to oversimplify this issue. I know statesmanship is completely different than what I speak here because I'm just a regular guy. I'm just asking questions. I'm just pointing things out. They're building up China as an actual tiger. It's not a paper tiger. And I hope they don't have the stupidity to provoke some war with China. One, because I live on the coast here, and I don't think these mountains would shield me from nuclear blast to Sodomiteville. What's it called? San Fran Francisco or whatever? San Francisco?
Francisco.
San Francisco. that might be a nice side effect, you know, toast the coast. But hopefully I could get out of here before it actually starts. But a war with China is something that they would like to hold over your heads. That would be the wolf in the woods, because people will, they're culturally different, they're spiritually different, they're economically different, you know, they're supposedly communists, which is funny because they're slowly becoming a capitalist society, and we're slowly becoming a socialist society. What's going to happen when we meet middle ground and we're both exactly alike, you know? But it's just, you've got to watch for this, you've got to be aware of this. They're going to start poking the finger at China again just to get your attention off domestic issues. People are ready in this country for a war, not with China. I don't care what China does to its own people. I care about the Christians over there, and I pray for them to fight for freedom. But I care more about my own country. And if you guys want to call me racist or an isolationist, fine, don't waste your email time. I don't even read them when I see that word in the headline or in the first paragraph. The fact of it is, they've got to get our attention off what's going on here domestically. I wouldn't push it past them to start some Central American wars. And yeah, that's where I'm heading. China has a huge influence in Central and South America right now. Just like they're doing in Africa. They're showing up, they're building schools, they're building hospitals, they're converting everybody to their way of life. Plus, they're tolerating the Islam thing. I don't even know why. There's a bunch of, there's an entire Islamic chunks of China. They've had some unrest in the past. I can't remember, they had a real name, like Kurdistan or something. Okay, here we go. Get the phone going. Okay, who's on the line? Hello? Who do we have?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Are you there? Hello? Okay, it worked in rehearsal. Sounds like Ed. Oh, that's on their end. That wasn't on our end. Somebody else give us a call, 559-561-8225. I want to see if this phone works. I don't know why you didn't hear me. I don't know if Lou disconnected something back there. Is anything hanging off? Anything disconnected for the phone? That was weird. Pick up the cell phone and call me. It's right behind you. But I'm not saying China is a viable threat. I'm not saying China is a real threat. But when you've got idiots running the country, I could totally see... Is that you, Lou?
No.
Okay, can you hear me now? Hello? Hello? Okay, now this is just annoying. Let me hang it up. Go ahead, do it. Okay, we're going to test it with a cell phone here. Try it again, Lou. Oh, boy, the perils of technology. Isn't this weird? I finally get people wanting to call, and I'm getting messages here. Okay. Are you there?
I can't hear you.
You can hear me.
No, I can't.
What do you mean you can't? What do you mean you can't hear me?
You can't hear me. I can't hear you.
I can hear you.
Or the phone. I know.
Okay, well, no, phone's not working today, guys. Sorry. Thought Lou checked it.
I did check it.
Wow, it's like you're in a different time zone.
Bye. Bye.
That was terrible. Yeah, something's wrong with the phone line again. Somebody probably tripped on it out there and disconnected a couple wires or something. This will all be resolved when we get our new soundboard and we move into the new location, and I can lock it in a room where nobody touches it. It won't be in a public venue. I'm not blaming anybody here. Don't get me wrong. But if Ed... man, I'm getting all kinds of messages now. Let's see here. Boom. I think it was Ed. Yeah, it did some. Yeah, we've had the flag flying over the White House. We've had China flag. We've had him, you know, inviting everybody that's un-American. So, yeah, who knows? But what better way to take the pressure off? I mean, are you getting my point? Maybe I'm belaboring it too much. Maybe you guys already get it. Let me look at the chat room and see what people are saying. So I'm not getting feedback on the phone. Sorry, Ed. Thought you were a hater. I don't understand that. Yeah, Ed, I don't know what's going on. That's too bad. I don't see what's going on in Grand Torino. Have no idea. It could be the ants again. They don't look to be in the board, though. I don't see them. You know what? This pot wasn't up, but that's from you. So that shouldn't have done it. I don't know. Hear me. Bad phone. Bad phone. But we got the phone line put up in the other building. Now we just need to get the soundboard. We need to get some more Cat 5 wire to run the signal over there, and because we can't move the satellite dish. Ed was prank calling me. I can hear Ed. I hear you, Dutch. I can imagine. Yeah, the problem when things kick off, Ed is saying with China would be the UN forces they bring here. And that's a whole huge menu of issues we don't want to have to deal with. But the good thing is that might unify our troops. That might cause a lot of drops. You know, they won't follow the orders. That's good. That's good to know. But yeah, great point. The UN aspect of that is terrible. Because if China attacks us, who knows? You know, it's kind of weird here, Ed. My first blush on this one, which side would the UN be on? Would they stand in as peacekeepers between the U.S. and the Chinese? Would they take a side? A lot of good questions there. That's pretty interesting, Ed. I think they would come in as peacekeepers and maybe on the side of our government. I don't know. Interesting question. I wish your call had gone through. We could have spent the next 10 minutes hashing that out. But the mice, the ants, the electronic gadgets here don't want us to discuss this. We have to prepare for every potential problem, right? I mean, I hope it's not the Chinese. I don't want to face that kind of stuff. Ed, I was going to get into that before the phone called in. He's saying that they control our ports on the West Coast. The Chinese have leases. There are foreign entities that run the security for our ports on the West Coast. The Panama Canal is leased to China, thanks to a liberal president named Carter. But I'm sure one of the lovely other presidents to come afterwards would have done just the same thing to make a little, you know, to give it up. The Panama Canal, what did the Chinese do? They widened it. Why? To get some of their larger ships through. That was the excuse, Carter. Well, we can't get any of our battleships. We have two fleets. We have the Pacific and the Atlantic fleet. We have the Indian Ocean. We don't need the canal. What about moving people? What about moving food? The two biggest ports, Los Angeles and I think you're talking about the one in San Francisco, and then there's one in Washington State. If that's what you're talking about, Ed, yes, you're right. Chinese have the leases on those. They're not necessarily owned, but operated. They probably put in the infrastructure. We need those ports to get food in here. That's right, Brian's saying. Because we produce everything overseas now. All our oil, everything. What's going to happen when China's... You know who could do a... What's the word I'm looking for? Not a barricade. They could blockade our coasts. Because we don't produce anything here anymore. We're not allowed to mine, farm, manufacture, refine anything here. A war with China would be devastating. But I still want to know, what do you think, Ed? Who do you think the UN would... Would they come in as peacekeepers to keep us separated and argue that we need to give up chunks to China for the debt that we owe them? I mean, like mass fields of grain and mining interests, that the national forest that I'm looking out my window at right now, China owns that. Okay. I don't know what Stacy's doing in there, but everybody knows who Ed is. Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking, Ed. I think we're thinking along the same lines. If you go South America, see the taxi cabs, buses, hospitals, ships, gifts from the people from the Republic of China. Look at Venezuela. They put in AK-47 plants. They put in supposedly short-range missile plants. I don't know if that's true. Another thing to make us fair. Everywhere they go, the Chinese give everything. And I don't know. The only good thing of that, it would be a target-rich environment if the UN came in with the Chinese, Ed. That would be amazing. The language differences would be fun. And that's where coming up with the coins, collecting foreign coins. Look at all the UN nations that they're using and buy coins from their nations. You can get them real cheap right now. That way you can bribe the guards when they come over. But yeah, the UN thing is something you always... I always call it the blue helmets. They're mobile supply pods. You know, getting back to an earlier comment, the enemy is my quartermaster. The mobile supply pods of the UN. I don't understand, or I shouldn't say I don't understand. I don't know clearly who the enemy is going to be. I just know that there will be enemies. And I know that our own vicious government will use the enemies to come against us. If China was on U.S. soil, would you be able to tell? I'm not sure what you mean there. Do you mean they're already here? Hidden out? I don't know. I think there's a lot, especially in Southern California. I can't tell the difference between a Korean and a Chinese guy. I really can't.
You said John Wayne, please.
Yeah, John Wayne even got to play a mongrel. Maybe they could pull it off. All their equipment looks like ours. Oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe that's something I need to look into. Yeah, what? I mean, I can tell the difference between Russian stuff and American, but the Chinese, I don't know. I couldn't even describe a Russian main battle, or excuse me, a Chinese main battle tank to you right now. Sounds like something to look into. That's a really good idea, Ed. identifying Chinese equipment. You know, I don't know how many U.S. automakers are making stuff for China, but maybe we should be looking for Ford and Chevrolet. Yeah. How can you tell if all their gear and vehicles look like ours? Yeah, I get it. I think there's a lag here. That's probably true. That's where just education and training and, you know, identifying the silhouettes. There's got to be some slight differences, but you know what? I've never thought of that, Ed. I have to man up on this one and say I don't even know what Chinese stuff looks like. I like that. I'll look up on YouTube for the last military parades in China and see what they're running. I wonder if they've got, like, do their stuff look like M1s and stuff, Abrams and all that kind of stuff? But excellent point. We need to start, if they're going to be putting stuff out in the press, like we have to be afraid of China, we need to start knowing what China's going to be using. And if it matches ours, we're going to have to come, you know, we have to get up real close. Just if everybody's real short and eating rice balls, maybe that's, I don't know, is that a racist thing to say? That's how we can tell who they are. My big thing has always been if they're shooting at me, they're the enemy.
Yeah.
That's how one way I'm going to tell. If they're occupying a village and not letting people come and go, they're the enemy. Doesn't matter who they are. If they're restricting my access to food, water, and pursuit of liberty, they're the enemy. So I guess it doesn't matter what they're looking like. But yeah, at first glance, first blush, I've used that term twice today. At first glance, we're going to need to identify what they're doing. That's kind of funny that their stuff all looks like ours. You know, that's a good thing. We need to get a bunch of Chinese mechanized equipment posters and put them up around the church and get people to learn what it is. Don't fire till you see the slants of their eyes. Is that what somebody's saying? And have our military contracts and combat vests and camo. That's, yeah. I'm not surprised to hear that. Talk about preparing for a melee and confusion in the battlefield, letting them have everything we have. Letting them have everything we have. Well, what we're going to have to do then is we have to figure out a way to get them to stand out. Figure out a way to make them not blend in. That's true. A lot of the stuff you order, like if I order from even our suppliers, it's made over in Asia, Vietnam, China. Wow, that came to an end quick. Even without the phone working, Ed, you had a great input on it. Thank you, Ed. And I promise you we're going to send some money over once we figure out. Stacy got her bank card today. And so we should be able to open the account in the next couple days when we get the card, and we'll be able to start paying some of the bills. And donations, keep the donations coming in, folks. $100 within 4 weeks. Get us $100 above our operating costs so we can get that new soundboard that we're looking at. And we can do what we got to do. So, folks, prepare for the potential invasion from China, I guess. That's going to be the next thing. I don't know. But we're here. We understand that results are in the Lord's hands. Duty is ours to act. Don't sit on your hands. Don't sit on your hands and wait for a cosmic bailout. Pray for us, you know, for support to come in. Pray for wisdom, understanding on my part so we can keep doing this show. I want to thank you for listening. And you got to remember, just like this song we're playing, the battle belongs to the Lord. And the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory is His alone. Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus. We'll be back tomorrow for 2 hours again. Thanks for listening.
We sing.